Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today we want to answer the question, who is in the lake of fire? Well, currently there is no one in that lake of fire. This is the future hell, which Jesus called it Gehenna.
So, Bill, what did Jesus mention about the lake of fire?
Well, Jesus used the word Gehenna 11 times in reference to the lake of fire. He used it because the people would understand its meaning and have a graphic picture of its horror, which we'll describe. He also used the word Hades 4 times to describe the current hell, and which we will talk about. So now read the description of Gehenna.
Yes, and this is from the Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, page 556, and it says, quote, Gehenna is the Greek form of the Hebrew phrase that means the Valley of Hinnom. In the time of Jesus, the Valley of Hinnom was used as the garbage dump in Jerusalem. Into it were thrown all the filth and garbage of the city, including the dead bodies of animals and executed criminals. To consume all this, fires burned constantly. Maggots worked in filth. When the wind blew from that direction over the city, its awfulness was quite evident. At night, wild dogs howled as they fought over the garbage. Jesus used this awful scene as a symbol of hell. In effect, he said, "Do you want to know what hell is like? Look at Gehenna." Hinnom thus became a graphic symbol of woe and judgment and the place of eternal punishment called hell. Quote,
that's a real clear description of what hell looks like. And Jesus knew the people would see it every day. They saw the valley right southeast of Jerusalem. And so that's why he used that word.
Yes, describing Gehenna or the lake of fire. You know, Bill, and this is a good point that you bring up about this because, you know, today there are a lot of theologians, Christians being taught in seminaries that, you know, there is no literal hell.
Right.
And that, well, it's really not, the lake of fire was a garbage dump. It's not really real.
Right.
That's some what some of them argue.
Or it's not real literal fire and so forth, and it really wasn't that bad and so forth. Well, here, that's why he used that word, to describe how horrible it is. You know, dogs eating the flesh and maggots and stench over the city and so forth. So that's, he's trying to give a graphic picture of how horrible hell really is, and it's literal, fire and so forth. So that word confirms that. And he used it 11 times. Now, the first occupants in this lake of fire will be the beast and the false prophet mentioned in Revelation 19:20. This will be at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Then after the 7 years, the thousand-year reign of Christ begins on the earth. Now, at the end of that 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet still exist in that lake of fire, as mentioned in Revelation 20:10. So actually, there are two hells. The future hell is permanent, and the current hell is temporary. The current hell is called Hades in the Greek and Sheol in the Hebrew. It is located down deep in the earth according to 49 scriptures. This is where those who have rejected Jesus Christ since the time when Cain slew Abel and up until the great white throne judgment are sent. You know, it's interesting regarding Cain. Some wonder, did Cain go to hell? Well, there's a couple verses that indicate that he did. 1 John 3:12 says, Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, we know the wicked one is the devil, Satan. And then Jude 1:11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. You know, the use of the word woe, that sounds like he went to hell. And according to Believer's Bible Commentary, Matt, and also John MacArthur's commentary, they indicate he did definitely go to hell.
Those are good verses too.
Right. Now, this is where the rich man Jesus spoke of in Luke 16 also currently resides.
And the story Jesus shared in Luke 16 is full of information about the current hell. You know, we see that on one side of Hades was the torment side, and the other side was the comfort side called Abraham's bosom or paradise. It was separated by a great gulf fixed or gorge within the earth. And the rich man begged for Abraham to send Lazarus, who was with Abraham in the paradise side, to bring him one drop of water to cool his tongue. As he said, he was tormented in the flame. Abraham told him no one could cross this great gorge in the earth between them in either direction. And this proves that someone in hell will never get out, which disproves the false teaching of universalism, which says everybody will get saved.
Right, exactly. You know, the rich man had his full memory. He was concerned about his five brothers that he knew would also come there, and he knew they needed to repent to avoid it. He wanted Lazarus to rise from the dead and go warn his brothers. But Abraham said, even if one rose from the dead, they would not be persuaded. He said they have Moses and the prophets and the written word of God to believe. And we know that many today are not persuaded, even though Jesus himself rose from the dead and tells us how to stay out of hell. You know, Proverbs 9:18 says her guests are in the depths of hell. So there's many, many people in hell, not just the rich man and so forth. Job 15:30 says, they shall not depart out of darkness. Well, that tells you you're not going to get out. It's permanent. Psalms 49:19 says, they shall never see light. Well, that means you'll never depart. Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Well, to have no hope presupposes their existence. And we know that the truth is Jesus. They have no hope for him because it's too late. You know, and Job 18:15 and verse 21 says, brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked. So those are clear.
Those are clear. And Jesus said also in Matthew 25:46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word for everlasting and eternal are the same word, the word aionios in the Greek. The same word is used to describe the length of time for heaven and hell. And then Matthew 25:41 says, Jesus said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, the same word for everlasting. Men will be in the same hell as the devil and forever in this place, as Revelation 20:10 verifies. And these verses alone refute annihilationism, another false teaching which says that you just cease to exist if you deny God, or deny Jesus Christ. And then, of course, universalism. So all those verses refute those.
Right, and there's many, many more. You know, at the judgment day, death and hell, the current hell or Hades, delivers up the dead which are in them. And I want to read this. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now just quickly, the second death, that's meaning the first death is when we die physically. The body dies physically. The second death is when your soul dies and separated from God. That's the second death.
You know, Bill, and those at the great white throne judgment are judged by their actions and their thoughts and even their motives. And Job 15:16 makes this clear and says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water?
Right.
And Proverbs 24:9 says, the thought of foolishness is a sin. Even a foolish thought would exclude a person from heaven. And that is a very high standard. And this leaves all of us guilty before a holy God. In addition, the one they they all denied as the Lord and Savior will be their judge. The very one that many have used his name as a curse word their entire lives will be their judge. That should make anyone tremble who doesn't know the Lord and isn't saved.
My goodness, standing before the throne of God and all the angels and the power emanating from God. Oh my goodness, what a scary place that would be for those who are not saved and are standing there. You know, as I said, the current hell is located down deep in the earth. And there are 49 verses that describe its location, and I will just list six of them. Ezekiel 26:20 says, "Then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit." So that's pretty clear. Number 16:32 says, "The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, so they and all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed over them." Again, very clear. Ezekiel 32:24, "Who have gone down uncircumcised to the lower parts of the earth, who have gone down to hell, and with those who go down to the pit." Amos 9:2, "Though they dig into hell." Isaiah 14:9 says, "Hell from beneath." And then Revelation 5:13 says, "Every creature on earth and under the earth." So that makes it clear. There's people under the earth down in hell.
Yes, existing in torment today. And those of us who have turned, though, from our sins and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior prior to our death will not be present at the great white throne judgment. All Christians will stand before a different judgment mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11. Thank God.
Right.
This judgment has to do with rewards one will receive or not receive for their works done in obedience to God while they are alive on the earth. This is not a judgment of sin, but a judgment to determine rewards. So the future hell or lake of fire currently has no occupants.
That's
right, Bill?
Right.
And the lake of fire is also mentioned in Revelation 14:10 and 11 and Revelation 21:8.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. There's a verse in Matthew 25:30. It states, "And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, it may be that hell, the lake of fire, is cast out into deep space or outer darkness at the time of the judgment and removed from the earth. Because we know the earth is going to be restored as it was when created. And that's in Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah 66:22, 2 Peter 3:13, and Revelation 21:1. So it may be that God would not want his perfect earth to be tainted by a place meant for Satan. In addition, it states that hell or Hades is cast into the lake of fire. So why would Hades itself be cast into the lake of fire and then to be returned to the lower parts of the earth? That doesn't sound likely from the verse. You know, however, in saying that, the location of the lake of fire is not revealed, and this is only speculation.
But those are good points.
Right. It doesn't sound like, why would he deliver up Hades itself, cast it into the lake of fire, and then place both of them back down in the earth? It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, you're right.
And where would outer darkness be? That term, outer darkness, it just sounds like it may be deep space.
Yeah, it sure does. I know some even speculate it could be a black hole.
Right, and since he's restored the earth, and now there's no more evil on the earth, it just would stand to reason that he wouldn't want it in the earth any longer.
Yeah.
But that's, again, speculation.
Sure, I agree, though. That's good points. You know, in Revelation 20:15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire."
Boy, he actually has a book, and he's going to look to see if people's names are in his book. So the question is, do you know if your name is written in his book?
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.